your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Thank you for being with us with Jamie Lint and Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. All right, Jamie Moore, names for the Red Raider basketball team in the transfer portal. This is from On3 Sports reporting Devin Cambridge, the 6'6 forward who is looking for a sixth year after suffering that knee injury in December. He's trying to get a medical hardship to regain a year of eligibility. There had been reports he was going to return to Texas Tech if he received the waiver, but now it looks like he's gone. He's going to go elsewhere. So that's disappointing.
That's really disappointing. I guess I'll ask the question. Do you think it was his choice, or do you think it was the coaching staff?
That's a great question. That's the question I had in my mind. Was like that one. I don't know. I don't know. You know, because they're working on their roster. Maybe they have somebody on the line that's kind of in that spot that can be with you for more than a year.
Yeah, and there, I guess that would make a little bit of sense, I guess.
But you need that experience. I mean, he was really good.
But he just did a lot of different things mm-hmm. for you. I thought he brought toughness. And obviously, he was a good rebounder. Mm-hmm. He came in. We all had heard how good he was as a defensive player, and I don't think we saw anything in his time out there that made us think that wasn't true. Just like a glue guy for you that was really good. I really like the style of his game. I seemed like a good teammate. I mean, obviously, I'm not in those huddles or in the locker room, yeah. So I don't know that. That's really disappointing.
Maybe... You know, look, maybe the rehab isn't going like he wants it to, and maybe they're projecting him not to be available until December or January. Yeah. It's, you know, depending on...
If that was the case, would you be disappointed in our coaching staff?
I think so, because you've got 15 spots, and, you know, If he got the ability to rehab, you know, and be a guy that you could plug in December, you're always going to need. I mean, you could always use a guy of his talent.
I would be just be. I mean, I'd like to think we have some loyalty to these guys, right?
And maybe this is.
I know that's a foreign word in college sports now on all sides. But I'd like to think that we feel like, hey, he may not be his best for the first couple months of the season, but this kid's working hard to get back. Mm-hmm. We're not going to kick him to the curb now.
Maybe he also looks at it and goes, "Hey, I've got one more shot here, and I'm maybe not going to get the playing time that I thought I was going to get." He spent 3 years at Auburn, a year at Arizona State, and now he's spent this past year with Tech. I mean, he came in as just a super senior.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe he just needs to, the jersey's hanging on the wall. He needs an even number to fill.
Maybe he's like, I've got an A for Auburn, A for Arizona State, and this T for Texas Tech. What am I doing here? I think I need another A.
Give me an A.
Maybe it's Arizona. Maybe he needs another
A.
I don't know. Just give him a full house.
How would that make
sense? Give him a full house, you know. and then the other one, and this one. So I don't know. I mean, I kind of feel like,
I'm really disappointed about.
Yeah, I'm disappointed that he's not gonna be here
for whatever reason.
For whatever reason.
Yeah.
Then the other one that's going in.
Wish him well.
Is DeMorian Williams, which is, I don't know that this is a surprise. He was in 7 games, 19 minutes.
Who?
DeMorian.
Who?
Yeah, right. Fifth year guard. You know, he has a year of eligibility remaining due to the COVID year. Spent 2 years at Gardner Webb, 2 years here. He's not officially in yet, but he's going to be in.
Who?
Yeah. Gardner Damarian Williams. Okay. He's, my guess is he's going to be a, you know, non power five or power
four. Go back to Gardner Webb.
Something along those lines. Right.
Yeah.
Right. Somebody says this. This is, I mean, that's a fair statement. I'm done trying to keep up with these players nowadays. I'll cheer for the team that runs out of the, runs out in the fall and worry about it then.
You're absolutely, that's a, totally fair. Totally fair. It's funny, we used to say that about high school recruits.
Yeah,
now we're
right.
saying it about the guys that are returning from the team.
That's right. Does Chuck know what a full house is? Yeah, I do. Three of a kind and another pair. Right?
I don't.
Yeah.
Yeah. If yeah. anybody cares, I don't.
Yeah. It's
never played poker in my life.
It's
a really good show from the 80s, Full House.
This probably comes as no surprise to you. I'm a terrible poker player. I don't play poker. I mean, I think we played poker a little bit in Boy Scouts or something along those lines, just, you know, just for giggles. But I've never been a guy that is going to go to a game because I just, I'm
gonna
open.
Go to a game?
Like go to a poker game.
Like the guys get together and play poker.
Oh, yeah. There's lots of games around town.
Seems like that you would, that you know, poker would be good. I mean, there's a lot of Kibitzin.
Oh, there's a lot of Kibitzin. And, oh, yeah. But see, those poker players, they get kind of serious, you know, and they don't really want the whole Kibitzin and things along those lines.
Yeah. I mean, like if they're professionals yeah. or whatever. But and I then, think most of the time it's just guys having something to do while they chit-chat and rag on
yeah,
each other.
Right. I know.
Smoke cigars and have a few cold ones.
Yeah, right.
My brother has those gatherings. And
I just, I've got a, I his, do not have a poker face.
Yeah, his friends would always be like, why doesn't your brother come to these? Because he can't stand poker? Well, I mean, I don't dislike it. I just, it's just not interesting to me.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
I'm just not a, I don't, I'm an open book, unfortunately, for many people. I mean, I kind of.
It would be lots of time for you to talk.
And but I mean, that's, you know, you're supposed to kind of keep your cards close to your vest, and I don't really do that very well.
I've never seen you wear a vest.
I used to wear vests like when the three-piece suits were in fashion. I had a three-piece suit.
And did you ever take the jacket off and wear the white shirt with the vest and your pants, just like when you were casual?
No, I would have had a tie with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've done that. Yeah, I did that. Yeah.
That cracks me up.
Yeah, six.
Your daily dose of sports and fun. This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
Today's the third day. Here's Jeff McGuire with the Stan Sports History.
You're going to start in 1955. Baltimore Orioles pull their first triple play.
Mm.
3-6-2 versus the Kansas City Athletics.
Okay.
I think it was my guess, line drive to first, mm-hmm. where he catches it on the in the air, catches the runner at second, who is trying to advance, and then the guy at third tagged, runs home, and makes the play at the plate, is my guess.
So you had runners on second and third with nobody out? We had runners on first and third with nobody out.
A second and third.
Second and third.
That would be my guess. Okay. But again, just a guess. Didn't actually look it up. But that would be, that would make, that's when I first read that, I went, okay, line drive to first, throw over to short to get the guy who's trying to get off a second.
I'm just totally guessing here, right? Just like
Sure.
You are. I don't think on a line drive to first and a throw to second, a guy who is tagged up at third would think he's got time to get home. I think it's
so catcher covers first.
I think it's a ground ball. I think it's a ground ball to first right on the bag. He steps on the bag, throws down to second. Okay, so there's a runner heading from first to second. Tags him out there, and the guy. So I think it was first and third, and nobody out. They tag the guy down there at second, and then the guy from third who was like didn't go right on immediate contact, like, but once he saw the throw to second, he's like, now I can go, and he takes off, and then they gun him down at the plate. That's my crazy version of it.
Okay. I was trying to see if I could find it.
Jeff could be absolutely right.
Oh, but, yeah. So could Jamie. Like, yeah, it's all speculation at this point.
Yeah, I just don't think on a line drive he's going back, tagging the bag at third just because they throw down to second and thinking he's got time.
I mean, it could even be a first to short back to first.
But then it would be a 3-6-3.
Then it would. Well, no, but have the catcher being the one covering first.
Oh,
like, okay. He moves up like... That is a possibility.
It's possible.
It would be crazy, but it is a possibility.
Yes. Yeah.
1966, Tom Seaver signs with the Mets for a reported $50,000 bonus.
Woo!
1987, Chicago Cubs trade Dennis Eckersley to the Oakland Athletics for 3 minor league players.
Yeah.
And you can tell that the A's won that trade because I don't have a list of the 3 minor league players.
Well, they thought he was done. He was a starter at that point in time, and the A's made him a reliever, and he excelled as a starter for the Red Sox and then was a Hall of Famer as a reliever for the A's, except for a fateful, you know, fall evening in 1988.
Well, he's still a Hall of Famer.
He's still a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. Right, but it was just
he just wasn't a perfect Hall of Famer.
It was a bad night, yeah.
Fateful night there.
1991. Bo Jackson signs a 1-year contract with Chicago White Sox, and I became a Chicago White Sox fan.
Okay.
Well, that's a big moment in Jeff's life.
1993, Cheryl Swoops has 31 points and 11 rebounds as Texas Tech beats Vanderbilt 60-46 to advance to the NCAA championship. 2003, Andre Emmett led Texas Tech with 23 points and 8 rebounds. And the Texas Tech Red Raiders win their third place game in the NIT over Minnesota, 71-61.
Forgot that we played that third place game.
In fact, that was the last one, wasn't it? In the NIT, the last third place game?
Oh, man, probably so. I could believe
it went on a few more years, but you might be right, Jeff.
I think the last third place game in the NCAA tournament, I believe, was in 1985. Because I was at the 86 Final Four, and they actually had the teams that played in the semifinals at the game at the national championship game on that Monday at Reunion, which was crazy to me. It's like, why would you make those teams sit around another day and force them to go to the national championship game?
Just imagine the faces of, like, Bob Knight or Chris Beard, who had lost in the semifinals, and they had to sit over there and,
oh my God,
watch the two teams play for the national championship. Mm-hmm. I'm sure those guys would have been a bundle of joy to sit next to and watch the game that night.
No doubt.
And in 2009, Texas Tech upsets number 11 Texas A&M 4-3 as Chad Bettis pitches out of a bases-loaded jam with a double play to end it. Nice. It is National Chocolate Mousse Day.
I can get behind that.
I bet you Fink lost his mind on that play. What year was it?
This was 2009.
Was he still calling the games then? Or was that may have been Gio.
2009. I think that might have been his... Yeah, I think that was a Geo year. I think that might have been Geo's first year, actually.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Amanda Bynes, who's 39. Eddie Murphy, 64. Alec Baldwin, 66. And Jane Goodall is 90.
Jane Goodall,
the zoologist, yes.
The chimpanzee gal?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And when you guys send a text...
quite a description. I have no idea who she is.
She did a massive amount of research on chimpanzees and monkeys in general.
Yeah. It's like lived with them.
The chimpanzee girl.
Yeah.
It's a pretty accurate description. when you guys send a text to someone, mm-hmm. how long do you expect to wait for a reply? Like, what's an appropriate amount of time for them to get back to you?
It depends on who the person is. There's some people that I know are going to respond immediately, and then some people that will never respond.
Well, it's a good thing none of us were around before 1860 on this day.
All right.
A letter from California to New York would take a month to sail around the Americas because the Panama Canal wasn't going to be finished until 1914. On this day, that two-month turnaround was actually cut in half on this day in 1860 when the very first Pony Express mail traveled by horse and rider relay team simultaneously leave St. Louis, Missouri and Sacramento, California. 10 days later, on April 13th, the westbound rider and mail packet completed the approximately 1,800-mile journey that arrived in Sacramento, beating the eastbound rival of St. Joseph by 2 days and setting a new standard for speedy mail delivery. While ultimately it was a bust for the Pony Express and not a profit, it contributed to the economy of the towns in the route and served as mail service needs of the American West for days before the telegraph and eventual Transcontinental Railroad.
Hmm.
And that is This Day in Sports History.
All right, This Day in Sports History. Thank you, Jeff.
This is the Morning Drive Podcast from Double T 97.3, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
I'm curious how you feel about this. I think my feelings are well documented on how I feel about these types of things. That having been said, if it occurs and I'm in, I get the opportunity to go, then I probably would go. I would go. I wouldn't probably go. I would go. The Big 12 has announced that their Mexico initiative that was going to begin this coming December has been delayed to 2025. The conference had announced last June that they plan to host basketball, women's soccer, and baseball games in Mexico, beginning with Kansas and Houston playing men's and women's games in Mexico City's CDMX Arena. I guess it's Arena CDMX. That would have been in December. They had also announced that they were exploring establishing a football bowl game in Monterrey. You know how I say Monterrey High School? This is where you get it, Monterrey. Get a Monterrey, you know, get a little Monterrey, Mexico, you know. That would have been in 2026. Women's soccer and baseball teams also plan to play exhibition against clubs in the region as part of the conference's first international extension. I'm cool with playing games in Mexico. I just was kind of hoping not to play conference games in Mexico. I just hate taking conference games away from the college campuses.
I get your take there. I get your take there. I think it would be fun.
It'd be fun.
It would be fun to see whether I'm there or not. The Red Raiders play a football game or a basketball game there. I think.
But if they play baseball, you'd go, right?
Yeah, I don't have anything that's keeping me from leaving the country.
Okay.
No.
I mean, he goes to
nothing
New
attached
Mexico
to
all
my
the time.
Ankle.
No, I got you. Nothing attached to mine either. I mean, I'm good. Well, my passport is. If I was going to Mexico today, I'd be fine. And tomorrow, I'd be fine. Thursday be a little wonky. I'd have to get in and get out. My passport is expiring, so I got to get it renewed.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Good luck.
And well, I'll be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Lucky lady's going to get on that paperwork. so anyway, that's. I get it. Like I said, I get it. I would almost prefer if the Big 12 is going to do this, have some kind of a, you know, Big 12. Challenge with another conference, but then I'd be like, well, I'd be complaining about that because, like, oh, we're gonna play North Carolina, we're gonna do it in Mexico, can't do it in Lubbock, can't do it in Charlotte, gotta go to Monterey.
I mean, if you're losing a home game, you're losing a home game,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, obviously, the conference ones, excuse me,
exposure.
The conference ones mean more,
mm-hmm.
But at the same time, sometimes, I mean, like last year, you know, the Oregon game. Probably had one of your better crowds, right?
Absolutely. For, and a lot of
the
juice.
Excitement
in the,
and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, so sometimes the non-conference ones can have as much or
it was awesome.
Or even more than some of the conference games.
It was awesome. I mean, it didn't turn out awesome. I mean, you thought it was going to be awesome, but there even, you know, in the third quarter, hell, even in the fourth quarter, I thought, this is getting ready to be great. I mean, the stripe out was awesome on both sides. Everybody participated. It looked awesome. That was the game we started on the west side with tickets, and then we ended up on the east side in our tickets because we wanted to stay out of the sun.
It was all awesome up until the point where your quarterback turned it over 5 times.
Right, no, yeah, including the last one, you know, which made it
over.
Over, right?
A loss.
Over, right? No doubt. Somebody says no conference games in Mexico. Yeah, I'm in agreement there. Hey, I've already been accused of being a jinx once this morning, and I'm gonna step out on the diving board and hopefully not be a jinx.
Of all the things that I've been accused of, Chuck, that might be the nicest one. So
being a jinx.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You're halfway through spring football. Seems awful quiet. Awful quiet. Which is good.
When is there noise in spring football?
It's only bad. It's only when it's bad.
Okay, so if there's a serious injury.
Yeah, I'm not aware of any.
Okay, that's when it becomes loud in spring football?
Yeah, bad. Yeah.
Okay.
Loud and bad. Seems like it's gone pretty... I don't know if it's gone swimmingly. It seems pretty smoothly so far. I got a little concerned about Baron Morton's shoulder because I'm like, man, I want to see more zip, but I mean, I also want him to be healthy and not throw his arm out in April when we don't need him in April. We need him in September, October, November, hopefully December, late December, you know, all those kinds of things.
January.
Well, that'd be awesome.
Yeah.
Need him Trickled for that into January.
Need him for that national championship game.
Yeah, right, right. So today is practice number 8 for the Red Raiders, okay? And they'll have the spring game on April the 20th down in Midland because the stadium is basically not available right now because of the construction.
What? They're doing reconstruction?
Yeah,
what are they doing over there?
They got a crane here, a crane there, a crane everywhere. What are we going to do when all the cranes are gone? We're going to go, man alive. We got nothing going on over here.
It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to bask in the greatness of the new South End Zone. That's what we're going to do.
You know, there's no doubt.
And we're going to go, man, those guys were right. They got it finished on time. Mm-hmm. They did it when they said they were going to. Mm-hmm. Everything looks great. And then we're going to say things like, best in the country.
That's right.
Tops in the nation. Well, I mean, Nobody has it better.
It's going to be pretty special. I'll just say that.
It looks like it is. Yeah, absolutely. I would tell you that I think other places have
good stuff too.
Have good stuff as well.
Yeah, right.
But this looks like it's going to be pretty sneaking spectacular.
Yeah, and it's going to be brand spanking new too. No spilled coffee on the carpet yet. I'll try to avoid going over there. But I was at Marcia Sharp and about 34th Street the other day. And I mean, every angle I can, I'm looking at, can you see the Double T scoreboard? And you can. You can see it. You can see it from the Marcia Sharp and about 34th and Slide there where that collides. And then on the east side, at about 19th and I-27, right as you're coming up there on the bridge, you can look over to your left, and you can see it. That thing's huge. That thing is almost as big as Jesus on top of the mountain there in Rio de Janeiro. Yeah. I mean, this thing is huge.
All right, now I got to look that up.
It's huge.
I didn't have to look that up before. Now I need to look up how tall is the Jesus statue.
Well, I mean, the truth of the matter is all that matters is what's around it. I mean, because what Chuck is describing, it's open and you can see it. Sure. It looks like for a long, long ways.
Yeah, you couldn't have seen it before.
In a city, it's more difficult because there's buildings around it or whatever. It feels like a... It's way up there now.
Yeah.
And I think that's super cool.
It's going to be intimidating, imposing for those field goal kickers.
I'm with Jeff. I'm just not buying into that.
Okay. I had a Red Raider former field goal kicker. Those guys kick into that.
You believe
be
every single thing you hear. We don't.
Not everything. I don't believe everything.
I just don't think any kicker is going to line up there to kick and be like, oh, that Double T's really tall. I'm afraid it's going to fall on me. I'm not buying into
it's
that.
It's closed in. It's right there. Somebody says this, my wife and I bought our brick to help. Hey, good job. One brick at a time. One brick at a time. Somebody says this, I need the help of the I need the power of the morning drive. Trying to purchase six tickets for the ACU game in sections 3-7, higher than row 15. Aftermarket sites, none of that profile yet. Hey, take your time. We got a long ways for that. August 31st.
Oh, I thought he meant next Tuesday's baseball game at ACU.
Oh, okay. Well, it said football. This is football here.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Time now for Jamie's question of the day on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3.
All right, gentlemen, my question for you today is, it's a little bit of a weird one. Okay. I am going to give you the ability to see into the future.
Mm.
Okay. And however, you can't see, the future cannot tell you how many games Texas Tech football team won this year.
Okay.
But if I was just to tell you that you would be able to see into the future and have a question answered about the Red Raider football team.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What would you want to know? What is the biggest question you have heading into the season that you would want to know? And don't, because I said you can't tell how many they won, don't tell me how many they lost. That's not. What would you want to know?
Did your quarterback stay healthy the whole season? You have the same starting quarterback all 12 games plus your bowl game.
Oh, Chuck is living in a fantasy world that I want some of. That would be awesome. That would be fantastic.
See,
yep, somebody on the chat line said the same exact thing.
Okay. I did not see that before I said that. I just want to make it clear.
The immediate question I had when Jamie said this, and we couldn't do wins or losses, how many starting quarterbacks did you use through the whole season?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
If it's one, fantastic. If it's two, then you're figuring out, okay, how did that work out? What are we looking at? But that question, I think, would tell you a lot about how the season would go.
Yeah, I think that's fair. And now that I think about it.
Do you want to take that one off the table, too?
No, I think that's the right answer. Now that I think about it, I think that's the right answer. Because I think if there's one thing that dictates how well your season goes, just one thing, man, that feels like, that's, I mean, high on the list of this thing is going to affect other things, right? Mm-hmm. Because if, let's be honest, if you're playing with a true freshman quarterback or an inexperienced sophomore quarterback for much of the season, you would expect that's going to hurt all of the offensive numbers for your receivers. You would expect that's going to hurt your numbers as far as how many points per game you're scoring, all of those things, which ultimately leads to how many games you are winning. Okay. And I think that's the right answer. That was not the answer I had in my mind when I asked the question. For me, it is, is your offensive line a strength, a weakness? Are they just meh? You know, Where does your offensive line rank? Mm-hmm. Because, you know, in my mind, I feel like if you can get a above average offensive line with the pieces, the weapons that you have, then you have a chance to be really good on offense. I think we've seen great progress on the defensive side of the football for the Red Raiders. And it would be really cool to get back to being an above average offense.
Yeah.
Okay. And maybe I'm a little bit harsh on that because maybe we still are an above average offense. We're just used to great offenses. And so I'm comparing it to what we've had in the past. And so, you know, I think maybe there's a little bit of truth in that. So I just am anxious to really find out what the offensive line, this revamped offensive line with a new offensive line coach and all that. I'm really anxious to see what that's going to turn out to. I think we all had really high hopes when Coach McGuire came on the show and said, hey, they're not just going to be an offensive line. It's going to be one of the strengths of our team. I mean, as far as run blocking goes, I think it was a good part of your team. Mm-hmm. Pass protection a little bit different. But again, I'll go back to what I said before. I think you guys and the chatters, I think you guys have the right answer. I think it's about, you know, can you stay healthy with your quarterback? Because it's going to be a different season if you can't.
My and I don't disagree with you on the offensive line. My question is, can we as, you know, I'll just say for myself, you know, an amateur expert, can we? I knew you'd love that. I just kind of came up with that, like came up with that title just off the top of my head, amateur expert. Can we as amateur experts identify or measure what the offensive line looks like? Oh, he missed that block. Oh, he didn't pull. He didn't, you know. But I mean, can we quantify that? Can we? What? How do you measure that the offensive line has performed at a really high level?
Yeah. And you can't. It's one of those things. You know, I'm big on this. You can't read a box score and figure that out. Is your quarterback able to sit in the pocket and make throws? Is your quarterback rushed and having to take the snap and run for his life? Mm-hmm. You know, are you able to, is he able to look to his secondary and his third receiver in a certain play, his check down receivers, or does he have to get rid of it immediately because he's under pressure? Those are the things you have to be able to watch for and see that. You may look at the box score and see that they didn't give up a single sack.
Yeah.
And you're like, hey, they did a great job. I don't know why he didn't complete any passes. Mm-hmm. But if he's running for his life the whole time, you can figure out, hey, he didn't, or the offensive line didn't do a great job.
You want a quarterback that looks like Patrick Mahomes, but you don't want an offensive line that looks like Patrick Mahomes' offensive line.
No. Never want to see that again. Another fun question would be, is Texas Tech playing on December 7th?
Yes, somebody, I thought that was very clever. Mm-hmm. Somebody brought up, what day are you playing your bowl game?
Yeah.
Because you could look at the bowl game and see which games you're playing would be the possibility. If it's like December 16th again, you're probably not thrilled.
Yeah.
Sure, but if it's December 7th?
You're playing in the Big 12.
Yeah.
Playing the Big 12 championship game.
There you go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This, I hit send, as Chuck said, starting quarterback, Wild. I need to get checked out. No, I'm on the same wavelength as Chuck. Ha ha. Yeah, I would too. I'd make sure you got your wits about you today.
It's funny. Maybe. Yesterday on the afternoon show, Choice and I had an argument off air that we brought to on air, and Clint actually begrudgingly agreed with Choice, and we felt like it was one of those moments on the Morning Drive when people text in and say, unfortunately, I agree with Chuck on this.
The Morning Drive podcast from Double T 97.3 is presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction.
There's Wilson trying to steal home. He slides across. He is safe. The Red Raiders win it on a walk-off steal of home. Kurt Wilson took off.
Drive on Double T 97.3.
Now to get the juices going. Hey, good morning, everybody. It is the Morning Drive on Lubbock Sports Station, Double T 97.3 and Double T 97.3.com with Jamie Lent and Jeff McGuire. I'm Chuck Hines. We come to you from the First United Bank studio. Look forward to hearing from you continuously today on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. Go to Double T 97.3.com for that, or the mobile app. Visual Edge IT hotline is open too.
I mean, just the best part of all that, besides the fact that Tech won a baseball game, was was Cam Warren's part. I mean, everybody's good friend Cam Warren, right? I mean, first off, he gave us a wow, okay, which was really cool. I mean, it was fun. You know, it kind of gave you like a John Harris feel, like in a football game, right?
Yeah.
That was also the game. I don't remember how much earlier it was, but Cam was telling me this is way more intense than playing in these games. He was more nervous, and at one point said, "I'm speechless."
Speechless.
which was awesome for a guy on the radio. Cam was so much fun.
I'm
so
speechless.
Yeah, it was great.
He hasn't been with you at all this year, has he?
He is not. He is not. He's too busy at his real job.
Gotcha.
Being really important and really good at being really important
and
being
hands,
really loved by every Red Raider in the history of ever.
He is. He's extremely likable, lovable. I mean, he's a go to lunch, play golf, drink beer guy, you know, all those things. And you know, helping raise some funds for the Red Raider Club.
Was it the Oklahoma or Oklahoma State coach that said when he walked in and saw Cam walking around the ballpark after he had graduated, about turned around and left because of the damage that he had done?
So funny, I think it's kind of funny. You'll probably think it's typical Jamie story from this past week. So you know that we had the delay on Wednesday trying to fly to Orlando, right? Mm-hmm. And so just peek behind the curtain there, we were delayed basically three times. We were told, you can leave the airport, come back this time. Nope. Yeah, get back. No, okay, nope. Delayed again, come back. And so that happened like three times. So during one of the breaks, it was around dinner time, and so Cam was hosting a bunch of donors from the Red Raider Club. And some great people, and they invited me to go to dinner with all of them, and so I did. And as you would imagine, we got into different conversations about different things, and one of the conversations was about, you know, life in the transfer portal and all the, you know, all of that good stuff. So that became a topic of conversation there at the dinner table, and for all of us. And Cam, of course, was there, and I was saying that, you know, how much I loved the fact that you would see a young player at Texas Tech that was, you know, in any sport, whether it was basketball, football, baseball, whatever, that was, you know, okay as a freshman, but you would see him get better and better as the years went along, and then next thing you know, he's a stud for you as a senior or whatever. Mm-hmm. And everybody was kind of agreeing with that, and so Cam was sitting there at the table, and so I said, heck, I mean, this guy right over here to my right, Cam Warren. I mean, his first year here at Texas Tech, he hit below 200. He injured himself tripping on first base trying to run to second, okay? And by the time his days were over at Texas Tech, he was, you know, the conference player of the year. And so everybody's like, oh, that's a great example. And Cam's over there shaking his head, and he's like, man, Jamie remembers everything. But I always love that Cam story about him injuring himself. He's rounding first, trying to go for a double, and slips and falls and hurts his shoulder.
Okay.
His first year here at Tech. And I remember we were in Austin that weekend after it was a midweek game, and we were in Austin, and I had said something to Cam at dinner, like, you know, I mean, maybe it was after the first game and he didn't play, and I said, I don't know if I asked him, you know, about starting tomorrow or something. I don't know. And he goes, no, I'm not playing this weekend. And I said, oh, you're not? And I said, so you're hurt? And he said, yeah, I hurt myself, or I got hurt. And I go, please tell me it wasn't when you fell. And he's like, yes. He had to admit to me that he injured himself falling. So I've always given him grief about that.
Okay. Well, see, there you go. That's a great story. And like you said, he ended up.
He came here, didn't have a great first year. But by the second year, you know, which was his junior season, he was really, really good. And by his senior year, you know, he was conference co-player of the year or whatever. And, you know, it's guys don't do that anymore.
I know. That's the disappointing thing, is that you don't get to see him kind of grow up in front of you.
Yeah.
And, you know, you.
If it had been the transfer portal era, Cam Warren, or a player who, you know, had a rough go of it his first year, probably says, you know, I'm going to go play somewhere else where I'm guaranteed more playing time.
Or maybe even the baseball team might have said, hey, you know, you might do better over here at Sheboygan State than being here in the Big 12.
Well,
and, you know, depending on what the development kind of is going forward with the team.
Well, I'm sure glad that Cam didn't head to Sheboygan State.
Me too. Me too. We wouldn't have gotten that wow on the Kurt Wilson steal of
home.
In addition to all the other stuff that he provides on the field. So, In case you missed it, Devin Cambridge is going into the transfer portal. That's disappointing. Don't know the reason. I mean, there's no reason given. Was that a mutual decision? Was that a, hey, he's not fully rehabbed yet, I don't know when I'm going to be available? And the team going, hey, we really need somebody from the get-go, especially somebody that's, in his case, he's only going to be here one more year. You know, maybe he looks at his situation and says, I really want to go to a team that's not in development. I want to go to a team that's could use a role player, somebody coming off the bench, wherever that school is, that is getting ready to make a run, that might have a need for a 6'6 guy like he is. You know, it could have been his decision of, hey, I'm going to look at, you know, one of these teams that made it to the Elite Eight or Sweet 16 that is maybe a semi-big away from, you know, greatness.
The crazy part about what you just said there is the fact that Grant McCaslin took over a team, felt like really, really gutted a roster, put that new roster back together again, and I don't feel like you are a team in development.
Maybe we were
tied for third in the Big 12 Conference. I mean, with the transfer portal, nobody has to be in development.
Yeah, no, that's.
I mean, it feels like you can make your team ready and get old in a hurry.
That's a fair point. That's a fair point.
This has been the Morning Drive Podcast, presented by Cantex Roofing and Construction. Check out our library of Double T 97.3 podcasts at DoubleT 97.3.com.